Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. It's another Spawn Daily episode. We're up to issue 80. It's a fantastic issue. Twists, turns, revelations, brutal justice being dispensed by Spawn. It's absolutely fantastic. Leads into an even bigger story going forward. So we're going to dive into the book in a second, but just a reminder to everybody what we're doing here on Spawn Daily. Again, started this back in 2022 to celebrate the 30th anniversary of Spawn. Had a co-host, he had to drop out. Got another co-host, he had to drop out. I just didn't want to do it solo, but I want to do it. And I haven't been able to find anybody that's committed to doing a daily podcast, so I'm doing it myself. So not only are we covering the main series, which is what we initially started doing, but pretty early on realized that a lot of the context and things that happened in a lot of the other tangential miniseries, one-shots, other ongoings that were Spawn-related really informed things that were happening to Spawn. So fan of fantastic reading order from a guy named Blake Whitlow. There's a link in the show notes. You can check it out. It incorporates everything, and that's what we're using. So we're having a fantastic time. Thanks, everybody, again, for joining. And let's go ahead and dive into the book. I'm really excited to talk about it today. The cover from Capullo is really fantastic. What it really sort of showcases, right, is the fact that right now Sam and Twitch are the minions of Spawn, is how I've kind of been referring to them. You know, Twitch got shot in the head and the forehead most recently, and Sam was willing to do whatever he could to save his partner's life. And Spawn was sort of the answer to that prayer. By using some of his ability to heal Twitch, using some of his necroplasmic energy. But yeah, now they're beholden to Spawn. So it's a fantastic dynamic between the three characters is what I'll say. So as we check out the interior here, main cover, what I will say, kind of remind everybody that there is a summary inside, which kind of sums up what happened last issue. You guys all watched yesterday's episode, I'm sure, so you're all aware, but we'll go through the credits real fast. Plot is, so typically it says story, and McFarlane and Holguin are listed, but apparently McFarlane's taken a step back here because he's only listed as plot along with Holguin, but then Holguin's listed as story. Interesting that changed. We've got Capullo on pencils, Danny Mickey handles the inks, Tom Orzechowski handling the letters and the copy editing, Haberlin and Kemp, Brian Haberlin and Dan Kemp on the colors. Yeah, let's go ahead and dive into the issue. So it ended on a little bit of a, I guess, a surprise factor, if you will. Sam, you know, had broken into the outreach center that was near Rat City that was being run by Dr. Sarah Frost, who he had a crush on, had a lunch date on, seemed to be some sort of burgeoning relationship there. But Sam broke in because he needed to find shelter for Bobby, one of Spawn's homeless buddies. And when he gets him in there on the couch, he goes looking for a blanket and he goes into Sarah Frost's office and he sees this altar where there's body parts pinned up on the wall. And it's kind of made clear via the crazy religious writing and what have you that sort of matches the tone of the writing that the notes that have been left on these dead bodies, the dead homeless near Rat City and what have you. So it's pretty clear that Dr. Sarah Frost is actually the killer. And Sam, in this opening page, is telling Spawn, yeah, got the killer. He's sure of it. But you can tell by the look on his face that he's not real happy about who it is, which is interesting, right? Because you think he would be, you know, pretty excited to have solved the case. But obviously, the fact that it was his prospective girlfriend doesn't really bode well. And the other thing that's interesting here is Sam and Twitch went directly to Spawn. They haven't gone to the police yet because Spawn asks them, police, no, it came straight to you. And he says, okay, give me half an hour and then call the cops. And then there's one of the greatest lines up to this point in Spawn. I absolutely love it. And it just kind of informs where Al Simmons is at in his head right now and how angry he is about these homeless people, which he considers sort of his people being murdered. Because when Twitch asks why Spawn wants them to wait 30 minutes before they go to the cops, Spawn says, and I quote, "Because I goddamn said so, that's why." I just love it. It makes me laugh every time. Because I goddamn said so. I can hear Jamie Foxx, right, who's supposed to play Spawn in the Spawn movie. I can hear him saying those words. And I really hope, and if I get a chance to talk to Todd before the movie goes into production, I'm going to mention this to him. Hey, man, you gotta make sure there's a line in the script where Jamie Foxx said or says, "Because I goddamn said so." It's just fantastic. So he goes off, Spawn goes off to confront Sarah Frost, and as he leaves, Sam's like ass wipe, you know, like he they're not happy to be kind of under the thumb of Spawn. So Spawn goes off, this narration starts. And we're not sure at first who's narrating, but it says the city's a lot like a person. It lives, it breathes, it grows, has its own unique anatomy and its own charms. And by its very nature, and this is where it gets kind of weird, it's got to kill and devour in order to survive. Wait, what? And sometimes it's faced with malignancies and parasites and cancers. Some can be treated, some can't. Others need to be eliminated, eradicated. So at that point, you're like, oh, this is the exterminator killer that's talking about this stuff. Organs may thrive, but they have to be cleansed. So, you know, this is the mania. This is the psychosis, if you will. And it says the killer knows deep in her heart on a primal level that it's the only way to make a better world is by getting rid of the, you know, the bad parts, if you will. And it says the men on the TV have been saying terrible things about her and about her actions, you know, words like murder and sociopath, and they just don't understand that it's thankless work. And, you know, especially being that she's a doctor, right? She takes a clinical sort of approach to it. And in her mind, she's kind of excising, you know, bad tissue, bad things from the body. You know, if she sees the city as a living being, and she sees these homeless as something that's damaging the body, you know, again, parasites, cancers, whatever, she wants to cut those out. So yeah, she's got a real problem. She's definitely off the deep end. And she it goes on to say she doesn't do it for understanding or recognition. She's doing it because nobody else will. She's taken it upon herself to do this job, even if it's a thankless job. So, as the scene shifts to her apartment, we see that she's taking a shower, and it's her seven, we're told it's her seventh shower of the day, right? So here's even more psychosis, more compulsive behavior, and we're told that she's got like really powerful air filters in her apartment, because there's so many toxic things and grime and whatnot in the city and other people that are putting out toxins. And so she really has her apartment as you know, a real safe space, a very clean space, almost like a clean room, if you will. And it's only there where she feels safe, you know, especially after she's just taken a shower. And so as she's standing there drying off, she sees a little bug crawling on her, which to her is just it's terrifying, right? She's such a clean freak. She's such a fanatic about it. When she sees that bug crawling on her, she just freaks out, screaming, "Oh, get off me, get off me." She doesn't understand how a bug could be in her apartment. Where did it come from? What have you? And then as she's trying to wipe that one off, then there's another that's crawling on her neck, and you know, her heart starts beating, she's panicking. She's like, this is impossible. Her apartment is so clean. It's a safe space, it's sealed. How could these bugs get in there? She feels sick, she feels violated, they're coming after her. And she actually falls to the ground as she's running out of the bathroom trying to get away from these bugs. And it's not the first time we've seen bugs come out of nowhere, right? In the pages of a Spawn comic. And there's a flash of lightning, and the lights go out in the living room, and she realizes there's somebody standing there watching her. And she hears the rattle of chains, and of course it's Spawn, right? And he says, "It's time to answer for your crimes." And so as she's lying there, the scene shifts to Sam and Twitch. They're waiting downstairs on the street in their car, kind of sort of counting the minutes until they can call the cops. You know, they're supposed to give 30 minutes as according to Spawn. And Sam's still upset about the 'cause I said so thing. He's like, deal or no deal, you can't talk to us like that. And Twitch is like, oh yeah, it was great the way you stood up to him. And Sam's like, well, I didn't see you taking any shots at him. And Sam's like, I'm sorry, just trying to lighten the mood. And Sam's kind of lamenting that, you know, he really liked this woman and thought it could be something, and it's just his luck that she turns out to be a psycho killer. Sam's like, knock it off, quit giving me a bad time. You know, you have your wife, you have your kids. You don't know how lucky you are, Twitch. And Twitch is like, oh, is that a fact? And Sam's like, yeah. And how long's it been? And Twitch is like, four minutes, 4 whole minutes. And Sam, you know, the impatience is obviously not happy about that. Meanwhile, back in the apartment, Spawn is confronting Sarah Frost, and she's asking, you know, who are you? What do you want? And Spawn wants to know, why'd you do it? And she's like, I don't know what you're talking about. Get away from me. And Spawn tells her, hey, you know, you can yell all you want. Nobody's coming to help. You're trapped in here. And as she runs for the door and tries to leave, Spawn touches her. And we know he has that power that he got in the green world, where usually he can kind of sense people's motivations and their feelings and sometimes see things they've done. And get a sense of it. He has to actually touch her, but when he does, the kind of the floodgates open, right? And he sees all these images, all these homeless people that are were murdered and mutilated. And she kind of remembers the day where all of a sudden things just changed in her mind and it just clicked. And she tried so hard with their outreach center to reach out and help these people. But they rejected her help. And so in her mind, they didn't deserve to live. And then the voices came in her head, and they told her that this was the right thing to do. And as she's remembering all this, she feels their pain. Spawn shares the pain of the murder victims with her, with Sarah the murderer. And she understands the pain and the fear and the agony that they all felt. And, you know, she's kind of almost goes into shock as that pain and fear and what have you are visited upon her. So she's laying there on her living room floor and she's crying, saying stop. And Spawn he's kind of torturing her. You know, again, he's so angry about what's happened, and this is his sense of justice, as brutal as it might be. And he says, you know, how does it feel? How does it feel to be helpless and know no one's coming to your rescue, to know your pathetic life is at an end? And again, she's screaming, stop, stop. And Spawn, no, we're not going to stop. I mean, Al is you know, fired up. So again, he visits on her the sequence of events and the pain that the 14-year-old girl felt, right? This girl who Sarah had set up appointments with at the outreach center, who didn't show up, and who Sarah then, you know, kidnapped and brutally mutilated. You know, Spawn again wants her to feel what this girl felt. So as she's laying there screaming, he says, you know, what is it that scares you most? What is it that makes you scream? Well, we know it's bugs, right? So as she's laying there, the bugs show up again. And they're calling all over her, and she's freaking out, and she's trying to brush them off. The thing is, it's all in her mind, right? This is Spawn using his abilities to make her think that there are bugs climbing all over her. There aren't really any bugs, but in her mind, there are. And again, it's the worst thing that can happen. She's just screaming at him to stop, and Spawn doesn't want to hear. He says, "You're not even allowed to beg," and. As she's kind of losing it, like probably literally losing her mind, you know, a psychotic break. She sees that it was her all along. The voices in her head that she thought were telling her what to do and to murder these people, and it was the right thing to do and making the world a better place. She realizes it was her own self, at least she thinks it was, talking to herself, convincing herself that this was the right thing to do. And now somehow that part of her is laughing at her. She's hearing that voice laugh at her as the insects continue to crawl over her. So she runs into the kitchen. She's just at the end of her rope here. And she's thinking, you know, how could this happen? I was such a good person. How could I have done this? How could I have killed these people? Like she just doesn't understand how her life has come to this. And she reaches under the sink and she gets out some bug spray and she just starts emptying can after can, we're told, of pesticides. And it's, you know, it's getting in her eyes. It's burning her eyes. She's scratched her skin trying to scrape these bugs off in multiple places. And the open wounds are being burned by this toxin. She opens her mouth and there's bugs like just coming out of her mouth in droves. So she's spraying the insecticide into her mouth. She's just doing whatever she can to try to kill these bugs to get them off her. She can barely see. Her eyes are swollen and she reaches out to Spawn, maybe hoping for some mercy or forgiveness or something. And she receives neither as Spawn is just standing there watching her die basically from poison herself with pesticide. And even if not, I mean, her mind, I think at that point is pretty much gone. So a little while later, the cops show up, Sam and Twitch are there. They've called the police. You know, Sam said, hey, you know, stumbled upon this evidence in the outreach center and found out that this is the one that did it. And Detective Silbert is like, well, you guys are, you know, really made a case for yourself. We know it's her. We found her whacked out journals that she wrote, you know, typewriter that matches the notes that were sent. Most organized killer I've ever seen. She really was a nut job. And Silbert's not happy necessarily that Sam and Twitch are the ones that solved it, because he's like, hey, you guys made us look like clowns and you actually, you know, solved the case. And the patrolmen are asking Twitch, you know, how'd you do it? You know, we're glad you're okay. Good to see you back on your feet. They let you take the bullet home with you. And Twitch taps his forehead. He's like, actually, it's still right here. It's where all my power comes from. And they kind of laugh. They think that's kind of funny that he's talking about having superpowers, if you will. But the funny thing is there's actually a little bit to that, right? It appears as though maybe by sharing his powers, Spawn has given Twitch some sort of extrasensory perception or something like that. We'll talk about that more in a little bit. But it'd be, yeah, interesting to contemplate that. But meanwhile, Sam and Twitch do go take a peek at the body and you can see there are no bugs. It's just Sarah there, you know, frothing at the mouth from having poisoned herself with all this bug spray. She's got scratches all over her body. And Silbert's like, yeah, never seen anything like it. We figure she emptied like six or seven cans of extra strength bug spray in a really enclosed space. And, you know, she was scratched up so bad, the poison leached in her bloodstream. And, you know, she even sprayed the stuff into her mouth. So, you know, take a peek for, you know, what it's worth. She clearly lived in fear of mortal fear of bugs and germs and what have you. So, you know, she ends up killing herself by battling imaginary bugs. So, you know, maybe she got what she deserved. But, you know, Sam, again, he had feelings for this woman. So this is not, maybe he doesn't feel what he would feel in a normal situation from having solved a case. And Silbert even says, you know, God, who crapped in your coffee? You know, you guys just made your careers. You don't sound too happy about it. And Sam's like, well, you know, I guess multiple homicides don't crack me up the way that they used to. And so Sam does take a quick look behind her ear and he notices that same symbol that they've seen on other bodies that have been involved with this case. And Silbert's like, what do you got there? And he's like, Sam says, nothing, just another hunch. Clearly, you know, something more than meets the eye, but at least this case appears to be solved. So, as they walk outside again, Sam feeling sort of depressed about the way everything's turned out. And he says, hey, I think we need to find another racket. And Twitch says, oh, I hear the post office is hiring, you know, kind of as a joke. But as they descend the steps, then the reporters, hey, you were the guys that cracked the case. How did you find out? Can we take your picture? All that sort of stuff. And they start filling a lot better about themselves, right? They realize they really are heroes in the eyes of the city. This story has captivated everybody. It's been in the newspapers. And so, they realize that, hey, maybe as much as this wasn't a good situation, maybe they can try to make the best of it. Meanwhile, across the street, Ethan Krohn is looking on. And so again, a sense of foreboding, sense that he may have something, may have a bigger role in the Spawn story going forward. So meanwhile, Spawn's talking to Cagliostro, saying, I don't want to hear anything you have to say, Cog, about what I did. She was a cold-blooded killer. She deserved it. And Cog says, well, it's like I told you, I really believe there's something bigger going on. I managed to decode more text about that marking you saw at the morgue. And Spawn doesn't want to hear it. He's like, it's over. We solved it. Let it go. And Cog's like, well, that's just it. I don't think it is over. So, what does he mean by that? What could he be referring to? Well, we're going to find out here in a little bit. But meanwhile, there's an epilogue. Sam and Twitch are checking out the headlines for the late edition of the newspaper. They've already gotten some badges, an award for what they've done for the community. Sam's ordered new stationery. And when they get up to the floor where their office is on, there's a box in front of their door. And Sam's like, oh, this must be the new stationery that I ordered. It's gold foil and, perfect time to kind of rebrand. And, we're going to be like celebrity PIs now. We're famous and we're heroes and it's going to be great. We're going to be, having the best time on good cases and not kind of the stuff that we've been doing so far. And so he picks up the box and he goes to open it and he's like, Jesus Christ. And he drops it. A head rolls out of the box. Somebody has decapitated an older man and sewn his eyes shut and left it on their doorstep. And as they turn to look, they see on the wall a note. And the note says, sorry, ladies, you bagged the wrong loser. Our fun is just beginning. I'm back, Billy. And if you've been with us so far in terms of Spawn and you hear the name Billy, you can only think of one person, Billy Kincaid. Now, we haven't seen Billy Kincaid in a long time, but the last time we did see him, he was getting his own symbiote costume. He was being turned into a soldier from Malbolgia as well. Now, of course, Sam and Twitch aren't aware of this. Neither is Spawn, for that matter. But how is Billy back? Is Billy back in the way that Spawn is back on Earth? How did Billy get these? Get Sarah to do what she did. Was Sarah really the killer after all, or was she set up? Did Spawn kind of push her into kind of a suicide by bug spray, if you will, unjustly? Could that be a possibility? Well, yeah, you're gonna have to come back tomorrow to find out more. So, yeah, just when you think it's over, and just when you think Spawn had some brutal justice to dispense and it was all well deserved, we find out that yeah, maybe that's not the case after all. And what is it with those strange marks? Is that Billy's mark? Spawn and Cog were looking through some texts and they mentioned that it was, kind of the mark of to do with the Knights of Templar, or maybe it had to do with demons or possession or that sort of thing. So there's a lot to unpack there for sure. But yeah, we haven't seen the last of Billy Kincaid, apparently. And we're going to see some more of him very, very soon. So I have a little bit of mixed feelings about that. I don't care for the character of Billy Kincaid that much. I do feel like he's a little bit of a cliche. He's a little bit two-dimensional. But maybe it's just he's just despicable, as a character based on the things that he does. I mean, he's a child killer. So it's not like we're supposed to like him, if you will. But yeah, I wouldn't be sad if at some point we were told, hey, we have seen the last of Billy Kincaid. So we'll see how he is involved in everything that's been going on. Next issue starts to become more clear. And things start to really pick up. So anyway, that's going to do it for this episode, everybody. Appreciate you all joining as always. Fantastic art from Greg Capullo in this one. You know, kind of a darker issue with what Spawn does to Sarah and the colors and the rain and the setting. It's set. The tone is set right from the first page, which I, you know, have up. If you're watching us on YouTube, I have up on the screen right now. Spawn in shadows and Sam and Twitch there and their, you know, overcoats looking very grim. So the tone, the darkness, the heaviness of the story is established right from the beginning. So fantastic job by the entire art team for sure. So anyway, as I said, that's going to do it for this episode. Appreciate you all joining as always. Don't forget, if you want to listen to any of the audio only content on the Comic Source prior to this year, before we started putting everything on YouTube, it's available wherever you get your podcasts, whatever platform or podcasting app that you use. You can do a search for the Comic Source and subscribe and go back and listen to anything audio only. All of the forthcoming episodes, all the current episodes, they're available audio only as well. If you prefer that instead of watching them on YouTube. If you are listening to audio only, though, I would appreciate you heading over to YouTube and subscribing. I'm getting real close to 500 subscribers so I can monetize and help defray some of the cost of the podcast. So, yeah, I really appreciate everybody that has subscribed so far. And I would love to hit that 500 mark. So even if you don't necessarily ever watch on YouTube, if you could just head over and subscribe, it would really help me out. And while you're there, leave some comments. Let me know what you guys are thinking about the books. It's a great way to interact and talk about the issues and what have you. So that's going to do it for this episode, everybody. Really appreciate you all joining as always, and I'll talk to you next time.
You can find the Comic Source Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, or whichever podcasting app you prefer. Please tell all your friends about us, subscribe, and rate us. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on Apple. Also, be sure to visit us at lrmonline.com to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover all our other great pop culture content. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. So once again, we want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.